Well, you may be seated. Well, God is good. Amen? I feel like we've had church already. I don't even know what to do anymore up here. I feel like, but I'm not going to dismiss you. Don't get your hopes up. We're still sticking around. Does God still speak to us today? Can we still hear the voice of God today? Or are we stuck with just reading about other people who heard from God? Because I mean, we got the Old Testament, which is filled with prophets that God used, right? God would speak to prophets. He would give them words, messages to deliver to God's people. We have a collection of prophetic words that God spoke to individuals. We have Jesus' life documented here in the beginning of the New Testament. We hear Jesus himself speaking on behalf of God. We've got New Testament writers, Paul and Peter, and different authors who have written us and given us God's word, what we know as God's word. My question is, does God still speak today? We still hear his voice. You've heard people say that they felt led to do something. You know, I just feel like I'm supposed to do this. I feel like Mother Nature has called me to do this. I feel like the world is just, something's calling me. People don't even know how to put words on it. But you hear people say this all the time, all over the world, that they feel called to do something. Something's telling me to do this. I'm just following my heart. Have you ever heard that before? Follow your heart. That is terrible advice. Don't follow your heart. Follow God's heart. But my point is that we all, whether you believe in God or not, we all believe that we are led by something. There's something that's calling us in life. But the good news that I have for us today is that that someone is God, and he's speaking. He is speaking. And if you are his child, then you can hear his voice. Children of God, hear the voice of God. If you are a child of God, you hear the voice of God. I think that sometimes we get nervous around people who say that they hear from God. Has that ever happened to you? Someone comes up to you and say, I've heard from God. And you say, okay, but on the inside, you know, the walls are coming up a little bit. Like, what is this person about to say? Anybody ever experienced, anybody honest enough to put their hands up when somebody comes up to you? There we go. We got some honest people here today. When someone comes up to you and says that they've heard from God, part of us gets excited and part of us gets concerned at the same time, because we're going, what are they about to say? Because we've all met those wonderful people who say that they've heard from God, and maybe they have, but then the rest of the sentence is just a little bit weird, right? Like, back in 2001, I was in aisle number 3 at Zayre's, and God spoke to me and said to only buy crunchy peanut butter. Don't buy any other kind of peanut butter. I don't know what's in it, but God told me, and I'm telling you, crunchy peanut butter is the way to go. Now, maybe, you know, I'm making light of it, but maybe God did speak to that person, so I'm not trying to be harsh on that person. I'm just saying we've all heard things that seem a little bit strange, and you think, really? That's what's important to God, is telling you that? But what is important to God is speaking to you, however big or however small. I believe God does speak to you. So what I'm encouraged about is that we are not told to just throw the baby out with the bathwater. You know, since some people kind of claim they hear some strange things, you know what? Let's just not hear from God anymore. Let's just not try and open our ears to hear him. No, we're still supposed to incline our ear, the book of Proverbs says, to listen to what God would have to say to us. So this morning we're asking this question about hearing voice, God's voice. We've been looking at Jesus' life in this series called Live Like Jesus. We talked the first week about how to pray like Jesus. How did Jesus pray? And we talked about how Jesus woke up really early in the morning and stayed up late at night and prayed all throughout the day. He was just always praying. We're supposed to pray like Jesus prayed. Last week we talked about how Jesus talked, how he spoke to people, and how we're supposed to talk like Jesus talked. This morning we're trying to ask the question, how did Jesus hear? How did he hear God's voice? Because one of the most frustrating things in the ears of the religious leaders was that Jesus claimed that he could hear God's voice. It infuriated them because in their minds, they're saying, we have the scripture. We have what we know is the Old Testament. God spoke to us already, and now you're showing up and you're telling us that you're hearing from God? It greatly concerned the religious leaders. So how did Jesus hear the voice of God? Would you like to find out? Wouldn't that be exciting? It's the only sermon I have, so might as well get excited about it. Okay, you got your Bibles? Turn with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. We were in John chapter 8 last week, so we're just continuing, skipping a few passages, and still in John chapter 8 here, where Jesus, speaking to religious leaders, gives us some insight on how does he hear the voice of God. John chapter 8, start reading in verse 37, and this will be up on the screen if you don't have your Bibles. Speaking to religious leaders, Jesus says this: I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my words find no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father. Interesting. Verse 39, they answered him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works your father did. They said to him, we were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? Ah, it is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? And listen to this, verse 47, whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. Jesus demonstrates to them that they cannot receive his words because they have some daddy issues, because of who their father is. He identifies this as an issue, and the religious leaders get pretty confused because they say, Abraham is our father. We know who our father is. Abraham's our father. Abraham's our father. And he says, you know how you would know if you were Abraham's children? You would do what Abraham did. You know how you recognize if someone's related to somebody? Based on the things that they do. You do that just like your father, just like your mother. You see it in them. And Jesus says, when I look at your lives, I don't see much of Abraham in you. If you were of your father Abraham, then you'd do what he did. So you might have said, well, you know, but my grandma was raised in the church. My father was a deacon in the church. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Who your father is dependent upon your life. Not on how your parents lived, not on how your grandparents lived. See, the religious leaders clung on to their lineage. We share DNA with Abraham. And Jesus says, that doesn't matter. Look at your lifestyle. Your lifestyle is a reflection of who your father really is. And they must be thinking, well, who does he think our father is? And Jesus says, let me tell you, your father's the devil. That's not a very nice thing to say, is it? Your father's the devil. And you do, how do you know if your father is the devil? He says this, verse 44, you are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. If your desires are more in sync with the devil than with God, well, I'll let you finish that sentence. What are your desires? What are the things that are on your heart? He looks at the Pharisees and the religious leaders' lives, and he said, your father's the devil. Look at the things that you're desiring for, the things that you're seeking after in life. So Jesus makes a distinction. Here's the difference between me and you, he says. I hear my Father, and I do what he says. You hear your Father, and you do what he says. It's the difference between Jesus and these religious leaders. Who is your Father spiritually? Who is the person whom you are taking counsel from? Who is the person that you are being influenced by? It's the difference between the two of them. So how did Abraham live? He says, you're supposed to be doing what Abraham did. How did Abraham live? He lived by faith. Abraham was a man of faith. Jesus was always preaching faith to the lost and to the religious leaders. You should be doing what Abraham did. Abraham lived by faith. He didn't live like you live. You live, the religious leaders lived, by clinging to laws and putting those on people's shoulders as burdens. And when somebody broke a law, they were going to hear about it from the synagogue. Jesus is calling us instead to live a life of faith. So you can't go through your life saying, you know, God is my Father and Jesus is my Lord, but, you know, I just kind of do life my own way. You can't do that. Jesus takes that excuse away from you. If you want to be able to celebrate with your forefather and say, I'm a child of Abraham, listen, if you want to be able to say, I'm a child of God, then your life should look like a child of God's life. So you can't run your family the way that everybody else runs their family. You can't spend money the way that other people spend money. I knew you weren't going to like that. You can't run your business the way that other people run their business. See, there's got to be something different. People need to be able to see your life and see something's different. Who is this person's father? See, this was a question that was always asked back in this time. It was always a connection there to the family. There was great honor in who your family was. And if your family was considered honorable and well-known, then they would give you respect and honor. Who is your father? Who is your mother? So he says, you're of your father, the devil. It's the only difference between Jesus and these religious peoples. Who's influencing them? And then he says this, verse 47, this last part. Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason that you do not hear them is that you are not of God. So Jesus is talking here about hearing. How do you hear God's voice? Who is qualified to hear God's voice? Did anybody notice? Whoever. I like the King James Version. It has a little bit more umph in it. Whosoever. Whosoever. Anybody in the room qualify as a whosoever? Yeah. You're a bunch of whosoevers. You are. You qualify. Whosoever is of God. If you are a child of God, you hear the voice of God. You say, I'm a whosoever. I qualify. Notice Jesus didn't say, whosoever is the only begotten Son of God can hear the word of God. Doesn't say that. Whosoever fulfilled all the Old Testament scriptures and prophecies, that person can hear the voice of God. He didn't say that. Whosoever was born of a virgin, anybody? Any takers? Anybody born of a virgin here? No, that person can hear from God. Jesus didn't say that. He said, whosoever. Somebody say, I'm a whosoever. Turn to the person next to you and say, not you, I'm a whosoever. Whosoever. Okay, here's what this means. Ready? This will be up on the screen. Jesus' ability to hear God's voice was not based on his divinity as God. It was based on his relationship with God. Come on, that's good. God spoke that to me this week, and I said, God, that is good stuff. Preach it. Jesus' ability to hear from God was not because of his divinity. We make excuses for Jesus. We read the Bible, and we see Jesus walking on water, and we go, of course Jesus can walk on water. He's the Son of God. Jesus heals somebody, and we say, yeah, it must have been easy for you. You're the Son of God. We make excuses for Jesus. We make light of his miracles, and we say, of course, you're the Son of God. You're perfect, of course. Of course you can turn water into wine. Of course you're the Son of God. We make excuses for Jesus. He didn't do those things because of his divinity. The book of Philippians, which we'll talk about next week, says that when he came to the earth, he actually surrendered all of his divine rights, and he became a human being. Every miracle that Jesus did, he did as a human being, filled with the Holy Spirit. Every miracle. So we look at Jesus walking on water and we go, of course Jesus can walk on water. He's the Son of God. Anybody remember somebody else who walked on water? Peter. You know what we all remember about Peter? We give Peter such a hard time. We go, oh, Peter, you took your eyes off Jesus and you looked at the water and you fell. And you... Peter, let's pray for Peter. What's wrong with Peter? We give Peter a hard time. Can we just pause for a moment and go, Peter walked on water. He did it. Good for Peter. Yeah, he stumbled and fell. So do you. So do I. Peter walked on the water. Why? Because you can do what Jesus did, not because of divinity, but because of your relationship with God. This is everything that Jesus came to preach. He says, me and the Father are one. The reason that I can do what I can do is because I have a relationship with him. So is there anybody here who has a relationship with God this morning? Amen. Oh, yeah. Well, that changes, oh, just about everything in terms of what your life ought to look like. So Ken, if Jesus could hear from him, he says, whosoever is of God, hears the words of God. I'm a whosoever. This is what Jesus does. He takes away our excuses for living normal, mediocre, average lives. Just takes it away. Nope, not allowed. You want to be one of my child? You're going to have to live a pretty extraordinary life. He takes away all of your excuses for being mediocre. Children of God, hear the voice of God. So how does this work? How does this work? How do you hear God's voice? Because some of you are saying, Pastor Tim, I've been a believer for many, many years, and I don't feel like I've ever heard God's voice. I don't feel like I've really ever heard God speak to me. How does this work? You're telling me that God can speak to me like I can hear his voice as strongly as I can hear your voice? How does this work? Hearing is a matter of relationship. Relational. So, if you were to come up and ask me, how can I get to know and hear the voice of Donald Trump? Maybe that's a bad example. I'm going off script here. Just go with me. You know, you're going to have to, this is a really bad example because he's on social media and you listen to him online. You have to get to know him personally if you want to know. Forget Donald Trump. That was a terrible example. If you want to get to know the voice of somebody that you don't know, that you've never heard before, how are you going to get familiar with their voice? You're going to have to get to know them. You're going to have to spend some time with them. And after you spend a long period of time with an individual, you come to the point where you recognize their voice. Isn't that right? I mean, you don't call your spouse and they pick up and say hello and you're like, sweetheart, is that you? Are you sure that's you? Prove it to me. Let's answer the security questions. Like when you call the bank to change your password and you got to remember 3 security questions that you don't have a clue what they were and if there was a capital or not a capital. You don't have to do that. Why? Because you recognize your spouse's voice. And if you don't, that's not a good sign for how things are going in your relationship. You should recognize your spouse's voice. Now, my wife Christine and I, this on New Year's Eve will be 12 years ago that we started dating. 12 years ago, this New Year's Eve. And yeah, thank you. And it's okay, calm down. I know, it's very exciting. And so I've been together with Christine for long enough. Those of you who have been married, many of you have been married for much longer than that. You get to the point where you can hear their voice even if they're not in the room. You know what I'm talking about. Somebody said, they don't even have to be in the country. You hear their voice. You're in a conversation with somebody and they say something that you know your spouse is, you know, very passionate about. And all of a sudden, you can hear the still small voice of your spouse. I mean, there are many things where if you came up to me and you'd say, hey, what do you think, Christine's a teacher. What do you think Christine would say about ABC? I could probably give you an answer about what I think she would say. And it might be pretty accurate because I know her and my relationship with her has given me the ability to hear her voice, even if she's not in the room. See, this is the same with God. You develop a relationship with God, you invest in an intimate relationship with him, and it gets to the point where you can hear his voice. It's just on the inside of you. You get familiar with it. And now you could approach me and you could ask me something about God. You could say, hey, Pastor Tim, what does God think about ABC? And I could, depending on what the questions were, I could probably give you answers because I've come to know him. I know his character. I know his personality. And so you come to know his voice through relationship. There's no formula. It's not a matter of A, B, C, and this is how you hear God's voice. It's relationship. This is why there's so many books on relationships, is because to a certain degree, not all of them have the full picture. Right? There's no formula for hearing God's voice. It's relationship. You get to know him and you will become familiar with his voice. A few chapters later in John chapter 10, Jesus makes this remarkable statement. He talks about himself as the good shepherd. And he says, "My sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice." If you are a whosoever, we have some whosoevers in the room, that's right, then you are also a sheep. You're a sheep, and you have a good shepherd. And Jesus' declaration is not, you know what, it's really hard to distinguish what my voice is, so you probably shouldn't try. So maybe you should just stick with, you know, just go to your pastor. The pastor can hear God's voice, of course, but you, come on now, you can't hear God's voice. Jesus doesn't say that. He says, if you're a sheep, doesn't matter how new you are as a sheep, doesn't matter how dumb you are as a sheep. Sheep are pretty dumb. Jesus used sheep for a reason. He didn't want to insult us, but come on. Some of you have looked in the mirror long enough to know that you need help, right? I'm a sheep. Somebody say, I'm a sheep. I need help, right? That's why we have a good shepherd. A sheep is such an accurate picture of us because we're a little bit dumb, and we need a shepherd in order to constantly lead us and correct us. Some of you know Psalm 23, his rod and staff, they comfort me. I had a hard time with that as a child. I shouldn't say anything else because my parents are here and I haven't gotten permission to share stories. But a rod and a staff, hypothetically speaking, if my parents had one, I don't think they would have comforted me as a child when I did the wrong thing. But they bring comfort to a sheep when the sheep knows that the shepherd is good. And if you're correcting me, it's because you know there's something in me that needs to change so that you can improve upon my life. Somebody say, I'm a sheep. So this is a declaration that I've made now for many years. I am a sheep and I hear my shepherd's voice. You want to know how to hear from God? There's no formula, but I'm just giving you a little bit of my notes this morning. Begin to declare, I am a sheep. I hear my shepherd's voice. Begin to believe. See, nothing happens in your relationship with God without faith. Nothing. So if you come here, listen to a sermon, go home, and go, yeah, I don't believe God will speak to me, guess what? God won't speak to you. God is a gentleman. He will not force you to hear something. He will not pry your eardrum open and shout in your ear. He doesn't do that. He waits for you to believe. So you begin to declare, I am a sheep. I hear my shepherd's voice. You see how much time we spend praying prayers and asking God to meet needs, and God, we need more money, and God, we need more wisdom, and God, we need you to deal with this situation. How much time do we spend praying about all these things? And how much of that could be resolved if we would just close our lips and listen? And in a moment, God could speak to you. Change this, do that, start that. All your problems solved. Sounds too good to be true. But this is how it works. God is always speaking. Radio signals are always being broadcasted. The only question is whether or not you're tuned into the station. Only factor is, are you tuned into the station? Are you listening? Are you making yourself available to hear from God? So we start making this declaration. I am a sheep and I hear my shepherd's voice. You start going around and telling people, I can hear from God. And you say, Pastor Tim, I don't want to start saying that. I don't want to tell people that I hear from God. People are going to think that I'm bragging. Well, are you bragging? If you are, then stop saying it. And if you aren't, then who cares what they think? Well, Pastor Tim, I can't go around telling people that I hear from God because they're going to think that I'm strange. They're going to think that I'm that crunchy peanut butter lady that hears these weird things from God. Okay, well, is that you? No. So why do we care about what people think? You know the people are going to think you're strange one way or the other. Statistically, 10% of people will not like you. Not because you're a bad person. This is just statistically. There, one out of every 10 people that you meet, it'll just be a personality clash, and it doesn't matter how nice you are to them, they will not like you. They will not. And you could fight me on this and say, you know, well, I'm gonna make them like me, and I'm gonna buy them dinner, and I'm gonna buy them a car, and you know what? You could buy them a car, and they could be like, who do they think they are showing off their money? I mean, 10% of people just will not like you. Aren't you glad you came to be encouraged this morning? How many people we got in a row? Almost 10. One person in your row. No, I'm just kidding. We're the exception to the rule here at Niagara Worship Center. We all love each other. We all get along. Yeah, right, you're all thinking. Okay. See, here's the thing. I'd rather know who I am in Christ and have people think that I'm strange than have everybody love me and be lost on the inside. I'd rather know who I am in Christ and have people think that I'm a loony. Come on. People are going to think you're strange either way. You might as well be strange in the right direction. Can we hear God's voice in the big things and the little things? Absolutely, you can. You can hear God's voice. If you're a child of God, you hear His voice. Absolutely, you do. Heard a story a couple years ago from Jesse Duplantis. If you haven't heard of Jesse Duplantis, he's an evangelist from the United States. And he was meeting, he's a full-time minister and a part-time comedian. He is hilarious, if you want to look up Jesse Duplantis. But I was listening to him, and he was talking about a meeting he had with some financial advisors, and they were advising him on where to invest some of his funds. They were saying, you should put this over here and this over here and move this investment over here. And after the meeting, at the end of the meeting, he said, well, thank you so much. I'm going to go home and pray about this, and I'll come back to you next week. These are the experts in their field, right? I mean, you're paying these people. They say, Reverend Duplantis, with all due respect, you know, we've prepared this presentation for you. We think this is the best thing to do. We're not trying to steer you wrong. It's not like God's going to tell you that we're trying to trick you or anything. And he said, no, I understand that, but let me go pray about it. So he goes home and prays about it. He comes back next week. He says, well, gentlemen, I prayed about it, and here's what I want you to do with my money. I want you to move it here, move this one over here, move this one over here. Not a single one was what the advisors had advised him to do. They said, with all due respect, Reverend Duplantis, why are you paying us to advise you if you're not going to do what we're telling you to do? He says, no, I appreciate your profession. I understand that you're educated. I just know that God is a little bit smarter than you, so I'm just going to seek His counsel. Everybody remember the stock market crash 2008? So that happens. And the bankers show up at Jesse Duplantis' home. Now, usually when the bankers show up at your house, that is not a good thing. They don't just pop in to say hello. They show up and they said, Reverend, you are our only client who did not lose money, and you are our only one who made money. Because God speaks to us. God speaks to us. There's countless testimonies of people on 9/11 who were told that morning, God said, do not go to work. They're still alive today because they heard the voice of God, because God still speaks. If you are a child of God, if you are a whosoever, if you're a sheep, you can hear His voice. Jesus went on to say, not only do my sheep hear my voice, but a stranger's voice they will not follow. See, here's the thing, that this gets into dangerous territory. Once you start believing that you can hear from God, guess who's going to try and talk to you? The devil, right? All right, we got someone else who believes in the supernatural. Well, I'm supernatural, and the devil's going to come in, and he's going to try and talk to you. And he's going to try and give God credit for what he is saying in order to deceive you. And he did it with Jesus. Jesus went into the wilderness for 40 days, and Satan tempted him, right? Satan tempted him, turn this stone into bread. Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. He knew what the word says. You want to know how to get strong in hearing the voice of God? Read the word. Jesus said, it is written. He knew what the word said. He didn't have to cry out, God, speak to me, I'm in the wilderness. Satan's attacking me, where are you? That's what most of us would do, right? After we've been fasting, we feel weak, and Satan attacks, we cry out to Jesus, and if he doesn't answer, we're like, I'm done with this. Jesus had enough of the word in him to know, it is written. Satan attacks again, says, I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world if you bow down and worship me. And Jesus said, it is written, shall serve the Lord your God only. And then what does Satan do? He uses the word. He says, you know, Jesus, why don't you go ahead and jump off this mountainside, because it is written that he'll charge his angels to catch you so that your foot won't hit a stone. Oh yeah, Satan will quote scripture to you. Do you know that he doesn't miss a Sunday, a church? He is the most faithful church attender next to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Satan does not miss a church service, ever. Because he wants to ruin your lives. It is written, he says. So you got to be careful when you start hearing Bible verses. Doesn't mean that it's God speaking. So you lose a baby. You experience a tragedy. And the verse comes to you. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Those were Job's words, based on his understanding of his circumstances. What Job didn't know, we know when you read the book of Job, who took everything away from Job? It was Satan. It wasn't the Lord. The Lord's not a taker, he's a giver. And yet we quote Job all the time, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. That is bad theology. And Job had bad theology because he didn't know about the devil. He didn't know the devil existed, completely unaware. He thought everything that happened was from the hand of God. So you got to get strong in discerning the voice of God. You want to start hearing from God, you got to be able to discern what is God. And what's the best way to do that? What is the best way to equip yourself to hear the voice of God? Read this book. The more words you have in you, the more understanding that you have, and it'll safeguard you against every crunchy peanut butter prophet there is out there. It'll keep you safe. The word of God is your safety net in discerning whose voice is whose. You study the word. You get the word on the inside of you. Get to know this book, and you'll get to know the God behind the book. Get into the word. The more you read the word, the more that God will speak to you. There is a direct correlation between you reading the word and God speaking to you. So you say, I don't feel like God's spoken to me in a while. Maybe, just maybe, that's a reflection of how much you have been speaking to him. Because God is so willing to speak to you. Now here I am, spending this week preparing a message on how to hear the voice of God. So you know what I thought would be really cool this week? If I heard the voice of God. Right? I said, God, come on, this would be really timely. Give me, like, come on, God, give me something fresh. Give me something that'll just make everybody get up off their seats. Give me a fresh word, something new and something good. So this morning, I'm about to come down before first service, and I heard God. You know what he said? Don't get frustrated when you don't hear my voice. Here's what I want to leave you with, because I don't want us to leave here this morning believing something, and then when we don't experience it by, like, dinner time, we get kind of frustrated. Don't get frustrated with God when you don't hear his voice. He's still speaking. It's just a process of fine-tuning our ears. God, help me here. Help me here. Help me here. I don't choose when I hear God's voice. It comes supernaturally. Supernaturally. Say this with me. I'm a whosoever. I'm a sheep. I hear my shepherd's voice. Do you believe it? Yeah? Then he's going to start speaking to you. So here's what you need to start doing. You need to start walking around with either a smartphone, a notepad, and a pen. You got to be everywhere you go. Get ready to hear from God. Get ready to hear from him. Because here's my experience. I've fasted for a couple days and been praying about something, and you know what I heard? Nothing. I'm just being honest with you. Nothing. You know, you fast because you want to hear from God. There's a reason why God told me this morning, don't get frustrated when you don't hear from me, because that's what I've done before. You get frustrated. God, why aren't you speaking to me now? You know when God has spoken to me? When I'm doing the most non-spiritual things in the world. Driving. Listening to you too. I'm not even listening to worship music. I'm listening to Sweetest Thing. God speaks to me. Watching a movie. And God will stir me up to start praying and interceding for something when I'm doing completely non-spiritual things. So here's my encouragement to you. Don't get frustrated when you're trying to hear from God. It doesn't work like that. Just make yourself available to Him. I am a sheep. I hear my shepherd's voice. Amen. Let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, we are honored and privileged that you have given us the Word of God. And we thank you that as we continue to put your Word in our eyes, in our ears, in our mouth, Lord God, as we continue to partake of your Word, Lord, that we will stretch our ability to hear you, Father God, in the big ways and in the little ways. Lord, we declare that we hear your voice because we are your children. And we thank you that as you speak to us, Lord, our declaration of intent is that we will obey you. That as you speak, we will obey. Lord, we thank you that you are alive and that you are speaking to your church. Lord, you are giving visions and dreams and you are speaking prophecies and you are speaking fresh life into every family in this church. Lord, we bless you and thank you for it today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Be with you to pray for you.